Boker Tov to everybody. It's nice to be back. Welcome to everybody. We're going to have some fun today with some interesting sources. We're going to get into Ruach HaKodesh a little bit, start flying a little bit in those spheres. Just to recap where we're holding on this particular issue. This is a third of a four-part series that deals with Daf Torah and where is rabbinic authority and which rabbis do we have to listen to and why and is it today and in what areas, etc. In the first year, we looked at some modern approaches to Daf Yehudis from a Haredi perspective, where the Haredi community is more into that idea, and we looked at more at other perspectives, Rav Rabinovitz, and more non-Haredi perspectives. Last time, we looked specifically at the mitzvah of Lo Sasso. There is a mitzvah in the Torah, two mitzvahs actually in the Torah, a positive and a negative mitzvah, to listen to the rabbis, not to deviate from the words of the rabbis. And we explored whether that could be a source, could that be a basis for Das Yehudin. And we saw that there were different approaches on this issue. The Rambam, just to recap last week, the Rambam said very clearly that the mitzvah Doraita, the two mitzvahs Doraita of Lo Sasso, apply clearly to the rabbis of the Sanhedrin. They apply clearly to Chazal, who we call the Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud, the Gemara, and the Mishnah. But they do not apply to today's rabbis. The Rambam was very clear about that. If we listen to today's rabbis, it must be because of something else other than Lo Sasso. However, we saw the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, disagreed, and he said, no, actually the mitzvah of Lo Sasso extends beyond the Sanhedrin into the Gedolei Hador, whoever they are. We need to define that. Next week we'll talk a little bit more on how we might define who that is. And there is in fact a mitzvah d'oraita to listen to whoever the gedolim are of your community. It is a mitzvah to listen to them, and we saw that some people passing like that, in which case there is a basis in Lo Sasso for Das Yehudis, at least in terms of halacha. Then you get into a discussion as to whether that goes beyond halacha into hashkofa, into advice, into other areas. We started to talk about that. But we saw last week, and I want to pick on that today, the Kuzari. The Kuzari was a mystic, and the Ramban also was a Kabbalist, and he picks up on this a little bit. And the Kuzari mentioned that actually maybe we should be listening to the rabbis because they have a spark of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration with them. And the question is, do they? And what does that mean? And which people? And how do I know who does and who doesn't? Lahavdil, every religious movement claims that its leaders are inspired and divinely inspired, etc., can work miracles, etc. We don't normally claim that our rabbis can work miracles, although that's a whole discussion. There are those who do. but nevertheless, we do believe in something called Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, today I want to try and work out, what is that? What is that and who we think might have it? How does that connect with prophecy? Do we have prophets, etc.? So let's have a look at the sheet. There are actually less sources on the sheet this week, only 31. So we're moving in the right direction. First of all, let's talk about prophecy proper, Nevuah. Nevuah is critical to Judaism. Most of our Jewish religion is based on the idea that God communicates with mankind, Jews and non-Jews. The sixth and seventh of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith are that we believe in Nevuah. We believe that God communicates with mankind, especially with the Jewish people, through Nevuah. We send it to the Nevi'im. And that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, that's the seventh Ikkar, is special. It's not just a regular Nevuah. In fact, the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim says, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah has nothing in common with anyone else's Nevuah. There were many Nevi'im, Yeshayah, Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, etc. Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing in common with them other than we use the word Navi for both. Actually, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, says the Rambam, was a completely different thing. It was very intellectually based rather than creative and imaginative. And that this is not the forum to talk about that in more detail, but sof-sof, everything that we do really is based in Nevuah in some way or other. Our Torah mitzvahs are based in the Nevuah given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Our many of our rabbinic mitzvahs are based off of Pesukim. Very often Chazal quote Pesukim as a basis for their droshas, etc. Those Pesukim are either in Torah or in Tanakh, which is to a large degree Nevi'im as well. So Nevuah is clearly very important. The question is, does Nevuah have a role in rabbinic advice? if my rabbi claims to be a prophet, what do I make of that? Do I say kol hakavod, or do I say, I'm sorry, rabbinics is a strictly non-profit organization? Well, depends on who you are. So let's have a look at number one. Number one. The Rambam says, Kol ma shekimtza b'mikra, b'divrei hanaviim, neged mitzvah min ha-mitzvahs, hina yesod ze mipesach l'kulam. Whenever you see anyone in Tanakh, any Novi or person going against what appears to be the halacha, remember this, he says. Nivim are different in this important respect from other people in the Torah. Meaning, Nivim have a certain hotline to God. They can do what's called a horat shah. They can go above and beyond the halacha as and when they need to. But in all aspects of iyun, an analysis, din of halacha, chakira, of investigation. But in Hatorah, Hari Hu Kashar Chachomin. A Novi is no different from anyone else. You do not, says the Rambam, get any points in Torah in terms of halacha for being a Novi. Kashar Chachomin Hadomim Lot. She'ainu Nevim, no better than anyone else. Ve'im Yifrash Eze Peirush, if a Novi comes and gives a certain explanation. Ve'ifrash Misha Ainu Novi Peirush Acher, and a non-Novi gives a different, contradictory explanation. The Yom HaNavi, and the Navi turns around and says, Amali Hashem, God tells me, Ke Perushai Hu Nachon, that my explanations are correct. God tells me I'm correct. Says the Rambam, Ein Shomim Lo. I'm not interested. We're not interested if your rabbi comes to talk to God. Even if 1,000 Nevi'im on the level of Eliyahu and Elisha, the top grade Nevi'im, they come up with a certain idea in halacha. The elef chachamim v'chacham, and 1,001 rabbis, perushu hefach oisa perish, come to the opposite conclusion. Achrei rabim lahatois, we follow the majority. V'oisim kedivrei ha'elef chachamim v'chacham, we go according to the 1,001, even though the 1,000 have Eliyahu's and Elisha's amongst them. V'loi kedivrei ha'elef nevi'im hamuflagim, and we don't follow the 1,000 nevi'im, even if they're amazing. She'ein tosefet v'giram v'torah mitzad ha'nevuah b'shum panim. Nevuah, says the Rambam, never, ever has any impact on defining Torah and adding and taking away. V'chein imam ha'navi she'ashem ha'maloi ki ha'psak b'mitzvah k'lo nitkach. If a Navi comes along and says that this is the psak, v'shedino shel ploni hu nachon, and that on the basis of being a Navi, that God told him this is correct. Hari also ha'navi neherag, this Navi has to be executed, says the Rambam, the Kihisha Navi Sheker. The very fact that he claims divine Nebuah for a halachic psak, says the Rambam, is enough to have him executed. Lefisha ain't Torah, achrei ha-shaliach ha-rishon, because there's no Torah after the first shaliach. Who's the first shaliach? Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the only Navi we're interested in, because no other Navi's like him. Ve'ain't of Sefet, ve'ain't the Giron. Lo b'shamayim hi. He quotes the pasuk there from Dvarim, lo b'shamayim hi. Torah is not in heaven. Forget about the Nevi'im. In terms of Hapsak. V'loim chau Hashem et Nevi'im. Why did God appoint Nevi'im? Elai machlu et ha-chachamim ba'alei adin. The God didn't give us Nevi'im, so they gave us chachamim. Loi ama obach el ha-Navi. He didn't say you will go up to the Navi in the Pesukim of Loi Sosur. Elai ama, he says, obach el ha-koinim ha-Levi'im ha-la-shefet. U'kfar ha-irich ha-chachamim ba'inyin zeh ma'od ma'od v'hu ha-nocho. So what are prophets for? What are Nevi'im for? Not for halacha, says the Rambam. They're for life advice, life coaching, you know, what kind of a shidduch will suit you, what kind of a career is good for you, where should you live. Nevi'im are there for exactly that purpose. They are there to give you guidance. They are not there if you drop your fleishik spoon and your milk is washing up. You do not go to your local Navi and say, please can you contact God and tell me if this is still kosher or not. That's not acceptable, says the Rambam, to the point that the Navi will be executed for that. The Kuzari, and there are those who hold this is a thesis very much of what's his name, Menachem Kellner, who is an academic, from academic in was in Haifa, his name is Yerushalayim. He has some very interesting books about the Rambam. Menachem Kellner, one of his positions there is that the Rambam wrote much of what he wrote in order to stem the tide of mysticism, he claims, because of the Kuzari. The Kuzari was immensely popular. And the Khuzri is a mystic. We'll see in a minute how that manifests. And there are those that claim, like Professor Kellner, that the Rambam wrote what he wrote to try and put a stop to that, to try and draw a line right there and right then, and say that Judaism is not an enchanted, mystical religion. It's rationalist and thought through, and halacha is a very intellectual pursuit. And the Rambam tried and did everything he could to stem the tide. It could be that the ultimate irony is that the backlash against the Rambam was so severe that the Rambam, perhaps more than any other individual, is responsible for making Judaism Kabbalistic, mystical, in that way. Because we're still feeling the reverberations 800 years later to the backlash against the Rambam, which is fascinating. You can read Kellner's books to see if you agree with his thesis or not. He has a lot of good proofs in his favor. Look at number two, however. The Khuzari, who was before the Rambam, says the following. Amar Achaver, so of course the king is speaking to the rabbi and the philosopher and the priest in his setup there as the way he presents his book. So the rabbi says, Toratenu kshura b'halacha l'moshe m'sinai, o min ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem. We get our Torah, says the rabbi, from Sinai or from the place that God chooses, which is Yerushalayim, meaning the Sanhedrin. Kimitzion teitin shorod v'asher Yerushalayim. But mamad shoftim, we have judges. Shotrim, Kohanim, Sanhedrim. That's how we get our halacha. Va'anachnu mitzuvim shenishma mehashofet mimeno, or v'hamamuna v'chol dov adol. We are, says the Khuzari, required to listen to the rabbis in all generations. Kamo she'amar, they said, delashofet ha'sheyiyya. These are all the psukim from Losasa that we saw last week. V'smach loy amru v'asita ala pi ha'toyra ha'she yerucha loy tasu min hadavar. We saw that last time. בעוד שהסדר נשאר מהעבודה בסנהדרין ושאר הכתות אשר בהם ישלם הסדר. Why do we have, they create this, if you like, order and in life and tell us what to do. וידבק בהם העניין האלוקי. Because they have attached to these men a godly something. בלי ספק, בין בנבואה, בין באומץ ההודה. Whether it's because they have prophecy or whether it's because they understand how to pass him based on their knowledge. Ukaasher haya b'bayis sheni lo yitachen la'avor la'ad kamo sama'ahkama medatam. When we had the bayis sheni, we couldn't ever go against these people. These were the leaders of our people. U'bazeh nitchadenu b'mitzvahs Megillah. That's why we have to read Megillah. U'purim u'mitzvahs Chanukah. V'yichalnu lomar, and we can say Asher kedishanu b'mitzvahs Tzavet Tzivanu al Mikra Megillah. Meaning, why do we have to listen to these people? Because they are the shoftim, they are the rabbis, they are the Sanhedrin, and they are touched with a certain mystical, godly quality. And he goes on to say a fascinating thing. So the Khuzari, the king, comes back to him and says, doesn't it say that they're not allowed to add on to the Torah? The Torah says it's complete and perfect. So the Chava says back to him, says, who is Bal Tosif addressed to? To whom does it say you cannot add to the Torah? Amar Achava, Loi Nema Zeh Ela Lehamon. Bal Tosif is addressed to you and me. The Hamon, the masses. Kedei Shelo Yichadshu Mitzichlam, so that we don't make up our own Torahs. Everyone has their own ideas. Baruch Hashem, every Jew is blessed with the idea that he or she thinks that they know everything there is to know about what the Torah has to say about everything. It's a wonderful thing. People wouldn't walk into NASA and tell them how to run the space program if they didn't have any kind of background in cosmology, but Baruch Hashem, every Jew feels that he or she has a God-given right to tell us how the whole of Judaism has to work. Says that's who Bar Tosef is addressed to. Kedei shelo yichadshu mitzichlam, vidchachmu vidatam, they'll be clever with their own ideas. Vikvula atman torot, they'll make their own Torahs. Okay? Meshatam kamo she'otzim ha-karaim, like the Karaites do. What are the diggers, the Karaites? Okay. Umadi lishmoa, and we are told lishmoa to listen min ha-nevim achrei Moshe. The prophets after Moshe, umin ha-kohenim v'ashoftim. Kamo she'amar b'navet, he says, Navi akim lahem b'kerev achicha. We acheihem, kamocha. I will appoint, says God, a Navi for you. V'hayam amor lo sosifo al-adav asher anochi metaveitchem. When it says in the Torah, don't add on to what? Says the Khuzari, al-ma she'tziviti etchem al-yidei Moshe. Don't add on to that which I gave you through Moshe, va'al yedei Navi, and that which I gave you through the Navi, mikir b'chal mechecha. Al-tanayim anitzkarim b'nubo. As long as you know he's a bona fide Navi, or she's a bona fide Navi, Absolutely. Bal Tosif means don't add on to what I gave you through the Moshe and what I give you on an ongoing revelation through the Nevi'im. There's a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Kuzari as to whether revelation is once and once only. That's it. At Sinai, God revealed through Moshe what there is to know. And after that, we're not messing with that system. That's the Nevi'im cannot impact on that system. Or maybe revelation is an ongoing thing. And God is revealing through Nevi'im, and maybe we'll see through the Chachamim, God is revealing to us what he wants us to do through these people on an ongoing basis. We saw a little bit of this last week. If you remember, the Ramban, also a Kabbalist, turned around and said that we don't have to listen to the rabbis when they make gezeiras because of lo sasa, meaning the mitzvah to not pick up muksa or to read the Megillah. That's not because of lo sasa. Lo sasa applies only to drashas from the Torah. We saw this last week. So the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, if you remember last week, said, so why do I have to listen to the rabbis when they say anything in terms of mitzvot and gezerot and takanot, when the rabbis create a new rabbinic mitzvah? Don't eat chicken and milk. So the Ramban said, there's no lo sasa in that. So Rabbi Chanan says, Gaval, why do I have to listen to these people at all? They can't tell me to listen to them. That's completely circular. So Rabbi Chanan says, because these people have a hotline to God. That's what it's Rotan Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks on an ongoing basis through these people. And therefore there's a fundamental machlokes to whether really God continues to speak to us. There actually is a beautiful Rashi. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. It says about Sinai, if you look in Beit Chanan there, it says there was a great voice, v'lo yasaf. What does v'lo yasaf mean? So Rashi there brings two pshatim. V'lo yasaf means it didn't continue, there was a voice and that was it, and revelation was finished. Or davaracha, he says, v'lo yasaf, it never ended. Within that Rashi itself is this machloket. Did Sinai never end, or did Sinai end right there and then? So the Kuzari is very much feels that we do have to listen to Nevi'im, and it could be that back in the first temple time when we had Nevi'im all around us, that if you did have three pieces of meat and you knew one of them was pork and two of them were beef and you didn't know which one was which, maybe you would take a go to your local Navi, your sister-in-law, or your granddaughter, or whoever it was, who was a Navi, a Nevi'ah, and ask them, please speak to God, and ask and get, let me know whether I can or whether I cannot eat this food. There's a famous Maisa of the Nodi Yehuda, and was it the Tzemach Tzedek, or was it the Baal Shem Tov? I think it was the Baal Shem Tov, who were, it can't have been the Baal Shem Tov, it must have been someone else, that it was a famous Hasidic figure. Maybe it was Magid Mezrich, I can't remember exactly. They had a friendship, and at a certain point they parted ways. And the question is, why did they fall out with each other? And there was a mitzvah that's brought down there's a book called Reflections, which is an English translation of the Makor Baruch. Makor Baruch is a bit of a long-winded way to get to the story. The Makor Baruch was the Torah Tamima who wrote the Makor Baruch during the First World War, when he said he had no head to write Londas, so he wrote history, and he wrote the stories of his family. These were translated into English and brought out in a book called My Uncle, the Netziv, which was banned subsequently, because it says the Netziv read the paper on Shabbos, newspapers on Shabbos, whatever. Reflections was the second part of that series in English. It's very hard to get all of these books now. Anyway, in that book I read a story that the Nodi Yehuda and whoever it was were together at an inn, and they were eating the dinner that the innkeeper brought them. And all of a sudden, the innkeeper runs out in a tumult and says, "Oi, Rabbi, I've just discovered when I kasher the meat." And of course, if you remember back to those days, my grandmother would always kasher the meat. She had a thing with holes in it, and it was on a slant, and it would soak, and it would drain, and it was all that. So he said, "I just discovered that I used the wrong draining thing, and the holes were tiny, and I'm not sure that the blood went through. And I don't know if the meat's kosher or it's not kosher, and I've just given you the meat." So the Nodi Yehuda said, "Okay, to tell me what was the angle and what were the holes like and how big was the hole?" And he said, "Fine, kosher, no problem." So he turned around, and whoever he was eating with, I wish I remembered who he was exactly, he said, "I knew there was no problem." So he says, "How did you know there was no problem? We didn't know there was a problem, potentially, until 5 minutes ago." He says, "No, if there had been a problem, I would have seen like an aura of tumor over the food." Said, "Are you serious? That's how you decide whether it is or it isn't kosher?" And this was the point at which the two parted ways. And like, I can't see auras, so I don't know what's going on. But if I could, you know, maybe there's a real thing there. Maybe there are people who can sense that. And the Nodi Yehuda was obviously not interested in that as an approach in halakha at all. That's part of this same machlokes. The Kuzari and the Rambam are picked up, of course, by Rav Kook as well. In case you thought I was over-reading this into them. Look at number three. The Rav Kook, just one line here from one of his igros. Shita takuzari. He, shehanavua v'ruach HaKodesh Messiah lehora'a. The view of the Kuzari is the Ruach HaKodesh has a role to play in, and Nevuah has a role to play in Psak. Deloike divrei HaRambam shemachalka. And the Rambam splits them to, never the twain shall meet. In fact, Rav Kook brings an interesting raya. If you look in the first line of Pirkei Avos, very famous line, Moshe Kibbel Torah Mesinai, number four, U'masru Yeshua, Yeshua is the game of Nevi'im. Nevi'im masru la'an shekneset gedola. So the Rambam will say, no, it doesn't mean the Nevi'im as Nevi'im. It means the Nevi'im as Chachomim. It's a group of people, meaning Eliyahu HaNovi is not just Eliyahu HaNovi. He's also Eliyahu HaTishbi. And they are two different roles that he plays. Eliyahu HaNovi is in his Novi role, and Eliyahu HaTishbi is in his Rabbi role. So the Nevi'im, of course, wore two hats. They wore their Novi hat, and they wore their Rabbi hat. And the Rambam has a very clear distinction between them. That's why sometimes it says Teku, which stands for Tishbi, Yataris Kushbi, advised that the Tishbi will come. Sometimes it says Yehemunachat Shiavu Eliyahu, because that's Eliyahu. Sometimes it's a question of law, question of fact. Separate. Rav Kook says, I don't buy that. Key number five. The Doichak Huloma. It's too far-fetched, he says. Shirak b'mikre haita ha-masoret ayidei nevi'im. It just happens to be coincidence that the masoret went through nevi'im. U'be'emek loy pa'ala klum ha-nevu'a b'zeh. And that really they had no nevu'a impact. And Rav Kook himself is more inclined, as we'll see soon, that to say that actually the rabbis did use their nevu'a, and maybe to some degree still do. Let's talk about Ruach HaKodesh. What is Ruach HaKodesh? So, Ruach HaKodesh is a low-level nevuah. The Tosefta, I'm not going to learn the whole thing, says the following. Mishemesu Nevi'im Achronim. From when the last Nevi'im died. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. And these were the last Nevi'im. Paska Ruach HaKodesh Mitzrael. Now, here he means Ruach HaKodesh in the sense of the high-level Ruach HaKodesh. We'll see that clearly in the Ramchal. Va'afal pikein hayu mashmin lahem al batkal. That God continues to talk to the rabbis, but just not through nevuah. He talks through batkal. Ma'aseh is counsel chachamim. He brings various ma'asim here down of different rabbis after nevuah stopped, who nevertheless heard batkal. And we see this in many places. Hillel and Shammai. There's quite a well-known Gemara in Erevin that the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagreed for 3 years until actually up to batkal, and the batkal told them. There's a Gemara in. I find it annoying when rabbis say every Gemara is famous. It just means that they read it once. But there is a slightly more well-known Gemara about Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer about the batkal that comes out and says that we have to go like Rabbi Eliezer after he's did all these magic tricks and he makes the trees go up, run up the road, and Rabbi Yeshua turns around and says, "Ein mashkichim b'baskol." We're not interested in a baskol, but clearly they're hearing baskols. Baskols are coming out, and in fact, there is an idea which I want to speak up in more detail in Bava Basra that when the rabbis have this perhaps low level nevuah, in some ways it may be even superior to the Nevi'im themselves. Look at number seven. Amar Rabbi Avdimi demin Haifa. Rabbi Avdimi from Haifa. Miyom shechara Beis HaMikdash. From when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he's talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, nitla nevuah min ha-Nevi'im v'nitla l'chachomim. Nevuah has been taken away from the Nevi'im and has been given to the Chachomim. So the Gemara says, really? It was given to the Chachomim? Atu Chacham lav Navi? Are the Chachomim not already Nevi'im on some level? So says the Gemara, Hachika Amar. No, this is what it means. Afal Pishin Niklamin Anavim, even though Nevuah was taken away from the Nevi'im, yet Malachi was the last of the true Nevi'im, Minachachamim Loi Nikla. Nevuah was not taken from the Chachamim. They have a certain kind of Nevuah. Now it can't be real Nevuah, because real Nevuah is over. It must be a different kind of Nevuah. Amar Ameimar, Ameimar comes and says, Chacham Adif Minavi. And anyone who's familiar with Rav Kook has a very long explanation of what this means. We'll mention it in a minute. That actually a chacham is better than a navi. A rabbi is superior to a navi. Amar Rav Ashi says, Teda, I can prove it. Da'ama gavra rabba milta. Sometimes a great rabbi says something. Umit amra halacha l'moshe mitzvah nikivata. And we discover afterwards that he got exactly the same as a halacha l'moshe mitzvah. He got it right. He was machaven to exactly what the halacha was in Sinai, and he worked it out for himself. Surely that's nevuah. The Gemara asked a funny question. But Dilma Kasuma Ba'aruba, maybe the rabbi is just a blind person stumbling in the dark. Maybe they just make it up as they go along, and every now and then they hit on the correct answer. Okay. Well, it's very funny that Gemara asked that question. He says, no, it can't be. The last time he asked, because he gives reasoning. Meaning, obviously, if you're just guessing yes or no, then I never know whether you're just guessing. But when you give, when you write a tshuva, and you write through all your reasoning, there's no guesswork there. No one ever opened up a 25-page tshuva of Rav Avadi Yosef and said there's any guesswork. It's analysis on the highest order. And therefore, it clear, says the Gemara, that the rabbis, even though they're working through analysis, they are nevertheless machaven to these things, and they connect in some level with that nevuah. And if you look in the Ramban, he explains this Gemara in number 8, says, Afal pisha nitl nevuah tanavim shehu hamarev achizayon. The idea of chazon, says, not chizayon. Chizayon is a light and sound display. Chazon, even though the rabbis, the nevi'im had marev, they had they understood, they had a picture in front of them, and chazon, they had vision. Nevertheless, nevuah chachamim shehi derech hachochma loy nitla. The rabbis have derech hachochma, a certain nevuah. Eliyodim ha'emet beruach hakodesh shebekirbam. The rabbis understand through ruach hakodesh. And we see this referred to later on in rabbinic literature as well. Look at this interesting Raivad. The Raivad who himself was a big Kabbalist. The Raivad's son was someone called Rav Yitzchak Sagi Nahor. Rav Yitzchak Sagi Nahor, meaning Rav Yitzchak the blind. Sagi Nahor in Aramaic means loss of light, which is a euphemistic way of referring to someone who was blind. So Rav Yitzchak Sagi Nahor, who was the son of the Raivad, was actually the Rebbe of the Ramban in Kabbalah. Where the Ramban learned his Kabbalah was from Yitzchak Sagi Nahor. So the Raivad himself says, he's talking about Hadas, Sheniktam Rosh HaKosher. If you can get into Sukkot mode at all, 3 weeks before Pesach, but he says, if you have a Hadas, which has had the top snipped off, then it's still kosher. How do we know? So Amar Avram says, Kfar Hotia Ruach HaKodesh Bebeit Midrashim. Ruach HaKodesh, he says, appears in our Beis HaMedrash. Mikam HaShanim, many years now. Ve'elano Shehu Posel, Kestam Shtateno. And I know that it's Posel. Why? Because Ruach HaKodesh has taught me it's Posel. Which is interesting. Occasionally he contradicts the Rambam. The Rambam came up with a psak about Kedusha Rishona Shekitcha Shloma, rather. This is actually an interesting question in number 10, which is not related to our shir, but is, can you go to Har HaBayis today? This is a topic which we spoke about in this forum about a year and a half ago, and one of the sources there is that the Rambam says, absolutely not, because Har HaBayis has complete Kedusha, just like it always did. Even though there's no temple there, it doesn't alter the Kedusha at all, because the Kedusha of Har HaBayis is the Kedusha that Shlomo HaMelech gave it, and that never went away. The Raivad objects and says, no, look at what he says, number 10. Amar Avraham, the Raivad says, Svarat Atzmohi, the Rambam made this up. That's his own Svara. The lawyer Dati V'Ainla. I don't know where he got this from. He just worked it, I don't agree. Because I'm telling you I don't agree for the following reasons. Lefi Shehai Yodea, he should have known, Shehai Yodea Ezra, that Ezra full knew, Shehamikdash V'Yushalayim Atidim Lihishtanot, that one day the Mikdash will and Yerushalayim will be completely changed. Okay? Well, hit Kadesh Kiddush Acher, there'll be a new Kedusha to Yerushalayim. Interesting how they do that halachically. When we eventually come to give the Kedusha of Yerushalayim to Rechavia. There's a procedure for doing that. So the Raivad says, this will happen one day. Okay? Kiddush Acher Olami, a permanent Kiddush of a Kvod Hashem La'olam. Kach Niglali, this was revealed to me how. Misoid Hashem Lirea, because God gives secrets to those who fear Him. Therefore, I'm telling you, if you go to Har HaBayis today, there's no Koris anymore, because one day there'll be a new Har HaBayis, and the Rambam made this up from his own Sfarah, and I don't know where he got it from, but as for me, God speaks to me and gives me Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore that's how I know the answer. Now, we're going to have to look at this. Are they getting this Ruach HaKodesh through some kind of prophetic means, or are they getting it through some kind of analysis? What does it mean that the rabbis have Ruach HaKodesh? Yes. Yes, the Rambam sent his work to the Raivad for a Haskama. And the Raivad wrote back and said, I'm not giving it a Haskama, I'm going to write a Perush on it, which is an amazing thing. They were absolutely contemporary. The Derech Hashem clarifies in number 11 the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. I brought you this in English. He said it is possible here, talking about Ruach HaKodesh, that such influence can be extended to a person's mind so that he can clearly perceive a given concept without being aware of the influence. In such a case, it is experienced like any other idea that arises spontaneously in one's mind. In a broader sense, this is called Ruach HaKodesh. In the words of our sages, even though it's actually a much lower level, true Ruach HaKodesh is a clear, vivid experience to the one worthy of it, and he's highly aware of its influence. And then he talks about Nevuah, that you cannot possibly have real Nevuah without knowing it. Meaning Ruach HaKodesh, when he talks about the rabbi's Ruach HaKodesh, is something that pops into their heads without them realizing necessarily that it is coming through a divine source, whereas real Nevuah, a person loses their own sense of their own, if you like, they haven't got their own, they lose their consciousness, and they're on the floor, and they have something which clearly they understand to be Nevuah, whereas Ruach HaKodesh is a lower level Nevuah. It seems that there... Yes, the Ramchal. It seems that there is a bit of a machlokas as to when we say the rabbis of Ruach HaKodesh, do we mean that they actually are touched with something spiritual and mystical, or does it just mean that they work really hard and they work it out for themselves? Look for a few minutes at these interesting sources here from Rabbi Feldman as well, of Aaron Feldman, the Rosh Hashiva of Mei Yisrael Baltimore, but we'll get to him in a second. Look first at the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says in number 12, V'nitlecha chachamim. What does it mean that Ruach HaKodesh Nevu was given to the rabbis? Perush, says the Ritzvah. They're just super bright, he says. They work it out with their intelligence. Regular people just can't work it out. They have a supercharged seichel. And that's what it means, Ruach HaKodesh. It doesn't mean it's necessarily mystical. And the Maharal says the same thing in number 13. Look for a second at the second paragraph, the way it says, Masha Amru. First of all, he talks about Nevuah just means that you have access to information that other people don't. What does it mean that the rabbis therefore have this Ruach HaKodesh? Masha Amru Chacham Adat Minavi. When it says, I'm on the fifth or sixth line down. When it says that the Chacham is greater than a Navi, he had a Nevuah who, the Chid of Amara. The Navi has the Nevuah through visions and riddles. The rabbis know things which are not known to others. Not through riddles and not through visions. It's through a higher level of focus and intelligence. When you have an idea, it falls into your head. Where does that come from? It comes from Hashem. The rabbi can even know the future, he says. Because the rabbi, if he has this level of understanding, understands the ways of God. If he sees a Rosha, he knows what's going to happen to this Rosha in the future. And so too in all things. Until he's a great Chacham, he can even predict the future, he says. Even better than a Navi. Because he's working through intellect. And therefore, when we go to rabbis, we don't go to rabbis because he says they are metaphysically blessed with some mystical prophetic insight. We go to them because their brains work better than ours. That's what he wants to say. So too, just look for a second at Rabbi Feldman. Rav Aaron Feldman is a Rosh Hashiva of Mei Yisrael Baltimore. He wrote a book called The Eye of the Storm, which you should read if you're interested in these things. He wanted to write a book where he sets out a thought-through analysis of modern-day Haredi Hashkofa. Okay? Just because he says he's sick of people saying that these things haven't been thought through. They have been thought through. He writes the book, and it's well worth a read. I would hazard a guess that you wouldn't agree with quite a few of the things that he says there. He has a real go at feminism, and he has a real go at Zionism, and he has a real go at Rabbi Steinsaltz and Rabbi Slifkin. He brings up all of the issues of the last 30, 40, 50, 100, whatever years, and he wants to give an analysis to them. So you should buy the book. It's definitely worth reading. And he, of course, himself is a major world Talmud Chacham. Look what he writes here in that book. 15. Other than the followers of certain Hasidic Rebbes, I've never heard of anybody who understands Das Torah to refer to metaphysical inspiration. On a personal level, I've had the privilege to be present when Gedolim of our time, whose opinions are considered Das Torah by a large proportion of Jewry, have dealt with major decisions. Never did one of them imply that their decisions were taken with anything but human decision-making faculties. I dare say he only hangs around Litvaks, is the truth. Okay? But on the contrary, they were unanimously repelled by anyone who claimed to have arrived at the conclusion through supernatural inspiration, which is the truth. That's not how the Litvishal world works. As for Rav Dessler's reference to the Shechina resting on their activities and the divine spirit standing amongst their companies, which we read, the Rav Dessler talks in very elaborate terms about the Shechina resting on the rabbis and the divine influence. Like a later reference to the Esiyata de Shemaya, this does not imply that some sort of prophetic inspiration was behind their decision making. Surely the context of the entire citation indicates otherwise. These references are not different from that of the Mishnah, which says that when two sit and occupy with Torah, the Shechina dwells amongst them. Similarly, the Talmud says success in business depends entirely on Siyata de Shemaya. And just like you don't turn around to a successful multimillionaire and say, obviously he's touched with metaphysical Ruach HaKodesh, that's how he knows how to make business decisions. God says, no. He has Siyata de Shemaya, and God, Kodesh Baruch Hu helps him to make the right decisions. So too, he says, the rabbis work in that way. It's very natural. Number 16, only the halakhic authority of the Sanhedrin and the Talmudic sages is absolutely binding. Halakhic opinions by, say, the Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, the Chazon Ish, gain their authority simply from a universal recognition that their greatness and vast command of every aspect of their law, compared to our own, outweighs our opinion. This does not derive from any special mitzvah. Again, he's interesting. He says, it's not losasar, he wants to say. You don't have to listen to today's rabbis because of losasar. Still less from any belief that they enjoyed metaphysical inspiration. We are not sinners if we dispute their view, which is interesting. Merely arrogant fools over the page. To use an analogy, when faced with a medical decision, we are not obligated to obey a specialist's instructions if we feel that another procedure will be better. You can ignore the specialist if you like. But if we decide to follow our flimsy medical knowledge against his, we are certainly fools. The distinction between halacha and non-halachic matters is irrelevant to post-Talmudic opinions. It's interesting. He's saying that now there is no difference in halacha and hashkafa. Because you don't have to listen to anyone, anything anyone says because of some mitzvah to listen to them. It's not lola sososo. You have to listen to them because they're super bright. And therefore, halacha hashkafa, what difference does it make? We may decide to agree or disagree with them in either case. However, if we do decide to accept the halakhic decisions of the poskim in each generation, by the same token, we should grant the poskim the same authority in every area. Since their greatness in Torah enables them to make better decisions than we can make, we should consult them in any case where Daas Torah is generally consulted. So we may agree or disagree with the non-halachic decisions of the Chofetz Chaim, Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Oizer, just as we may agree or disagree with their halachic decisions. There is no difference between one and the other, however, by the same token, there is no difference to the degree of one's folly in either instance. Now, that's interesting, because Rav Aaron Feldman seems to be saying here, there is no mitzvah to listen to the rabbis today. It's just that they have Ruach HaKodesh, meaning they have Siyata Dishmeah, meaning they have super intelligence, and therefore, why would you not listen to them? Because they clearly have a deeper insight. Now, the question is, again, always comes up, who are these people? How do you decide? When a senior rabbi of the day, who is seen as a Gadol Hador, seems to be indicating that you should not vaccinate your children, because there's a problem with that, is that something that you would go to a rabbi, or that you would go to a doctor? Now, different people in different communities will give you different answers to that question, but many people will get very frustrated when people would listen to a rabbi on that issue rather than a doctor. In fact, let's go back for a second to an important piece on page 3 by the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe is extremely frustrated and surprised when people go to rabbis with non-halachic questions, non-Torah questions, let's say. Not just halachic questions, but non-Torah questions. He says, my dear friend, he writes here in one of his egrets, remember the days of old, Zachari Mosalam, Binu Shnoi Sor Vador. Has there ever been anything like this since the beginning of time? Where, this is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, where in all the books of the scholars of Israel, whether the earlier or the later ones, have you ever seen such a custom instituted to ask about a secular question, such as what to do in some mundane matter, even from the greatest of the wise men of Israel? Such as the Tanaim, the Amoraim. People would turn to actual prophets. Prophets, yes. Such as they used to be, such as Shmuel, to whom Shaul went to ask about the donkeys that his father had lost. But in truth, all matters relating to a person, other than something having to do with Torah or Yiras Shemayim,
are not apprehended through prophecy, other than through prophecy, through a wise man. And when our rabbi said that people derive benefit from him, from a Talmid Chacham, by advice and sound wisdom, this refers to words of Torah, which is called Chachma and wisdom. Interesting, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe is saying, I don't understand why anyone would ever go to a rabbi to ask about a non-Torah issue. Why would you even go to a rabbi to ask about vaccinating your children? What's it got to do with a rabbi? When do we ever hear of anyone doing this? A Navi, yes. But since the rabbis are not Naviim, and whatever Siyata Shemaim they have through their intelligence, he seems to be saying that you'd go to someone who is the most qualified in that field rather than a particular rabbi. The interesting thing, Rabbi Aaron Feldman seems to be disagreeing. It's very interesting. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, who is a Hasidic Rebbe supreme, is saying, don't go to rabbis if it's not a matter of Torah, because they're not Nevi'im. And Rabbi Aaron Feldman, who is not Hasidic in any sense, and says that actually I'm Dafka the opposite, is the one that's saying, do go to rabbis on all sorts of issues, because it's all about their intelligence, and they have an insight that other people don't have. So you see almost a role reversal here going on in those two roles. However, there are those clearly that understand that when we talk about Ruach HaKodesh, we really are talking about something supernatural. And we'll see them in one of the most unlikely sources in a minute, the Abarbanel. But for now, let's look at the ramp, number 17. The Fikach. Mikevan she'amar ameimar chacham adivin avi. We're now going down a different route. It's not about just being a super intelligent and having insight through your seichel. Nitchayv lomar she'yesh b'chachamim koach nevu'i. We have to say it means that the rabbis have a koach nevu'i, a prophetic ability. V'zei yesh she'b'koach seichel pashut. You can't get that through seichel. Aval mitzdareif alav koach nevu'i. The rabbis have this extra additional prophetic wisdom. Kloma koach shehu lemala me'aseichel. Higher than seichel. The Ran is very clear. And Rav Kook also talks about this and says, and I'm not going to go through number 18 in Mishpat Kohen, that Rav Kook talks about the fact that that the rabbis are blessed with this metaphysical eloki, something eloki about the people who you're going to. Again, you're going to have to work out who are these people and how do you know what they are. Even to the point that we have examples in the Rishonim, there is a sefer called Shilas and Shuvas Min HaShamayim. Rav Yaakov of Marvej went into a trance and asked a large number of Shilas to the heavenly host and was given answers which he records in his sefer Shilas and Shuvas Min HaShamayim. How do we deal with that? What is that all about? How does that go together with Lo B'Shamayim Hi? Or is Lo B'Shamayim Hi really talking about something a little bit different, but actually this is acceptable? And actually, when you read Shilas and Shuvas Min HaShamayim, which is a book you can buy in the stores, he asked the most interesting and unusual questions that you wouldn't necessarily expect. If you had a few nights where you get access to the heavenly host and you can ask all the questions you can to the Malachim or to Hashem or whatever, what would you ask? He asked things that I wouldn't think to ask. One of his questions is, do you or do you not have to say She'achianu when you read Megillah on Purim morning if you already said She'achianu on Purim night? Which is a beautiful question. We talked about that in my share in the OU Center last week. But honestly, that's not one of the things that would be top on my list if I got online to... But it's interesting how one makes that decision. He's also, interestingly, there very bothered about whether women should make brachas on positive time bar mitzvahs. And he feels there that even Sfaradim women should make bracha when they shake the lulav, and he claims that that's what they told him in Shamayim. Rav Avadi Yosef is not interested in that argument, and comes back and says, no way, Jose, that's not happening. Number 19, let's go to the Abarbanel like I promised you in page number 5. Because this idea that there may be something spiritual attached to rabbinic advice, and there may be a font of deeper wisdom, we see this in a very interesting piece in the Abarbanel. Have a look at number 20 for a second. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma, anyone who learns Torah lishma, zocher ledvarim harbeh, can achieve many, many things. V'neni mimenu, and can benefit from him what? Eisa, tushia, knowledge and advice, bina, gvura, shenemar, as it says, Li Eitza V'Tushia Anivina Li Gvura. So he says, rabbis, Bekeyava seems to be saying, rabbis can access other things than just Torah, specific Torah wisdom. And the Meiri understands that to mean, and we'll see this about Rabbanel in some length in a minute, B'nei Adam Sh'nani Mimenu Lihim Alechbo. You can consult with rabbis. Ulehitzia Etz Ito. You can take advice from rabbis. Eich Lehit Naheg B'ma'aseihem Hagash Mi'im. And again, this is very different from what we just saw in the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He's saying that actually no, rabbis are touched certain people with a certain ability to understand. And who better to know the world of life than the Abarbanel? The Abarbanel, of course, was a famous character. He was an advisor to different royal houses in Europe, in Portugal, in Spain, in Italy. And he writes the following on his Pirkei Avos. Let's have a look together at least at the first half of this. Hine, in came Hashem El Ta'ele, he's going on, why does it use these words, Eitza, and Tushia, and Bina, and Gvura? These words, Kulam, Eitza, Tushia, Bina, Gvura, Duchal Lefarsham Be'emet, Ubetamim Al Dvarim Hama'asiim. This is talking about regular life. Van Hagot B'nei Adam, and regular, the way that people work. Ulechein Amar Rebbe Meir, that's why Rebbe Meir says, Sheha'otek V'Torah, Lo, I can't read this word. Lo yachshov, it's getting a bit blurred in my copy. Lo yachshov, he shouldn't think that he now no longer has understandings in hanhaga hamedinit. In the eitzot bnei adam v'tachbulot hamilchama. So just because you sit and learn Torah all day, you have nothing sensible to say about tachbulot hamilchama. Which the Abarbanel knew about Tachbulot HaMilchama. He sat there with the kings and worked out how to work their world. So I think the rabbis haven't got what to say about this. Ve'im b'tushia tamalachot v'chidusham. And understanding how to create and build in this world. Ve'im b'chidus havanat ha-seichel la-havil ben ha-tov or ben ha-ra. And don't think the rabbis don't have the sharpness to understand the difference between right and wrong. Ve'im b'gvurot ha-milchamot she'im kulam dvarim me-ha-seichel ha-ma'asi. Ain't okay. It's not true that a rabbi sitting in a yeshiva poring over his Torah doesn't have an insight into these other things. It's not true. Ain't okay. Ki gam ha'eitza v'ha'tushia v'ha'bina v'ha'gvura v'divrei ha'olam heima ya'nu min ha'adam ha'osek v'torah lishma. He's saying that it is legitimate. And it's interesting that it comes from him. He's saying it is legitimate to seek wisdom in worldly matters from rabbis who sit and learn Torah lishma. Lefisha bava sorech yireh otam dea ba'aseich v'haskel jahacha rebi korolei v'hacha rebi korolei. They can be a rebi in one thing, they can be a rebi in another thing. And look at the end, let's go to the bottom for a second, where it says, v'liyot ha'osek v'torah, three lines up from the bottom. V'liyot ha'osek v'torah kalul u'muchtah v'chol zed tzivah kodesh baruch. That God commanded us, someone who is involved and crowned with Torah in this way, he says, go to the Kohanim and the Levim, v'al ha-shofet, lo tatsur min ha-davar ha-she yagidu lecha yamin u'smal, lefi, okay, she'imahem timsa, because there you will find ha-chochma v'ha-maisa k'mo she-ra'inu b'vitzalel. Meaning, rabbis, he says, don't think that it's counterintuitive that the very people that you will go to for advice are the people who are so far removed from this. What did Bezalel know about architecture? He learned that in Mitzrayim? Presumably not. And therefore, he learned it on the job. Bezalel is someone who was imbued with this Ruach HaKodesh. These are these week's Parsha. He was Bezalel. He sat in the Neshad, and therefore he was able to do these amazing things. Therefore, all I'm trying to do here is find for you sources that indeed, just because the rabbis are rabbis, it doesn't mean that they are detached and menutak in that way from these areas. And this Abarbanel, you can read the whole thing for yourself later. Meaning because he's a rabbi?
No, because he's helping the king, so this is the kind of guy I am.
You know something? You want to say that the Abarbanel says that I got this through... But the Abarbanel is the one who's least likely to need to say that. Meaning he doesn't need to be a rabbi, so he can prove himself through his other areas as well. I don't know. I don't think the Abarbanel was insecure in that sense. I think the Abarbanel knew all his worldly wisdom, and he's saying that I actually hold, with all my worldly knowledge, that someone who, mind you, it's interesting. Was the standard education of a Rav in the time of the Abarbanel, of a Spanish rationalist rabbi in the 14th century, different from the yeshiva education of a rabbi today? That's an interesting thing to start. Would the Abarbanel say the same thing that he said then about the people who are living today? That's a good question. And I think that's he doesn't mention it. He said if you learn Torah Lishma, that will give you insight into these other areas. He doesn't say you have to learn Torah and also do a degree in accountancy. Yes. Right. Correct. Correct. That's absolutely correct. And indeed, one of my, but you hear stories to the contrary. For example, they talk about, and one of my close rabbis said that he felt this was complete nonsense. He didn't believe it for a minute. But they tell stories about the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish was giving the doctors advice as to how to do brain surgery on other people. Now, is that true? First of all, that could be just made up, number one. But if it is true, that goes against what you're saying in that sense. But the Abarbanel seems to be, and I'm not claiming that that story of the Chazon Ish is true, it probably isn't, but nevertheless people do talk about that kind of thing. We'll see Rav Moshe Feinstein in a few minutes on that particular issue. Where, yes? Right, and therefore, who should you listen to? When the chief doctor in the world says to have the operation, and the rabbi says don't have the operation, who should you listen to? Right, so I don't know, it depends on who you ask your shaila to. Some will say you listen to the doctor and you ignore the rabbi, and some will say you listen to the rabbi and ignore the doctor. But I'm saying there are different kinds of approach on this issue which we're seeing. Some saying, no, absolutely not, you can do what you like, but it's at your own cost. And others saying, well, look, these people are blessed with this higher level of knowledge. I want to show you two things, one from Rav Moshe and one from the Ran, which is based on, or not Rav Moshe, but the Art Scroll biography of Rav Moshe, which is very different. But anyway, have a look first at the mission in 23. Ben Bagbag Omer, Hafochba, the Hafochba, the Kulaba. So what's he talking about? Is this where the Abarbanel is coming from? That ultimately Torah has everything in it? Or is he only talking about Torah? Again, the Lubavitcher Rebbe that we saw before, who said, I've never heard of such a thing, of people going to rabbis to ask them questions about worldly matters, you go to someone else for that, he would say, Hafachba, Hafachba, Kikulaba, is talking about, the Kulaba is Torah, that everything you ever need to know about Torah, about religious life, about connecting to Hashem, about being a mensch, it's all in Torah, you don't have to go look somewhere else. But if you need to know how to build a skyscraper, then it's not in Torah, that you have to go somewhere else for. Maybe the Abarbanel will be learning otherwise, that actually no. The Kulaba means everything is there. And I couldn't resist bringing you this piece from the Art Scroll biography of Rav Moshe. Now, Art Scroll biographies vary in how reliable and accurate they are. And because they're all written by different people. And you need a bit of a masorah on which ones you can use and which ones you can't use to rely on. Maybe you don't want to use any of them and you want to speak to someone else about these. But Rav Moshe's one is particularly notorious. The family was very unhappy with what was said. In fact, people said that the only real things in it were the pictures, and even they were airbrushed sometimes. But I don't know. I don't want to slander any biography. Other article biographies are excellent. The biography of Rav Hirsch, everyone I've ever spoken to who knows about these things has said it was superb and right on the mark. So, like all books, some are good and some are less good. But if you look here in Rav Moshe, the Art Scroll biography, you see this interesting quote, number 24. There are people who maintain that Talmidei Chachamim are not qualified to decide political matters, that Gedolei Yisrael should limit themselves to Torah and Halakha. Well, that seems to be the Lubavitcher Rebbe that we just saw. Such people cannot be considered within the Torah camp. Now, that's a very, strong statement to make. One may well say disregarding the advice of a Talmid Chacham is far worse than violating a commandment. One who violates a commandment because he's too weak to resist temptation, at least know that his action is wrong. By contrast, one who ignores the advice of a Talmid Chacham denies that a Torah scholar's wisdom is superior. And this is a far more serious breach. Right, they are quoting this, basically. And now if you look at Rav Moshe said many times of different things that he wasn't a politician and he wasn't qualified to talk about politics. And why are you asking him about politics? The people who knew Rav Moshe. This is a classic thing that people would... Basically, if you think about what this is saying that going against Daf Torah is worse than eating treif. Because eating treif, at least, you know what you're doing. But eating, going against Daf Torah is more fundamental. Actually, the truth is, this statement, whilst I don't think it came in any way from Rav Moshe Feinstein, does come from somewhere, to some degree. I want you to look with me in number 25, at the Ram. The Ram we've seen quite a few times on these issues, and he's an important commentator in his drushes. The drushes HaRam is a fascinating work. 12 or 13 or 14 drushes on Hashkofa issues. It's amazing to me that no one's ever translated this into English, unless you know that someone has. I know, I heard that Rav Yosef Kamenetsky was working on it a few years ago, but it never appeared. They're real gems of understanding as to how to work through Hashkofa. Look what the Ram says here in number 25. Ki Yisrael ha'over al divrei Torah, a Jew who breaks a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzad eshei yitakfenon ha'yetza, because he's taken by his yetzahara. Yenash kemishpatei ha'Torah, so he will suffer consequences for that because he broke the Torah. Aval ha'over al divrei chachomim, but if you break the words of the rabbis, achayos ha'shomei divrei Torah, but at the same time as keeping divrei Torah. Lot here mitzolda hayeta. That's not coming from your yetzahara. Umitzkifato. Ava mitzada bizayon. Ulekachit hayet mita. He's making an important point, which I think actually, although I didn't see it referenced, this is what that comment in the article by Yochum is saying, is that there is an element, and we see this, and there's an element of truth to this. People who break mitzvahs because they, whatever, we all have our yetzaharas, everybody does averas, everybody is lacking in different ways, otherwise what would we all be doing on Yom Kippur? There'd be nothing to do. We'd all be tzaddikim and we could do something else for the day. But says the Ram, somebody who nevertheless keeps Torah mitzvahs, but has a principled issue with, rabbis, who needs them? They sit around looking for things to say or offer. They're looking for new chumras all the time. It's a certain mindset. So that's why it's worse. He's coming off the Gemara there that says if you break a mitzvah drabonon, you're chayv mitzvah. But again, who is he talking about? He's talking about Chazal. He's talking about today's rabbis? Good question. It's an attitudinal problem. I get this, and you do pick this up in certain communities, that drabonons, certain students that I teach, when I say the word drabonon, I know that what's going through their head is optional. I had this conversation. Rabbi, Shimon Agi is really drabonon, right? Well, I hate to break it to you that according to Rav Poskim, it's Doraita. And if it's Darabona, Asma. Why is that different? So that's what he's talking about here. Yes.
But there's such a diversity of rabbinic opinion that you're on safe ground sometimes.
Well, sometimes, but not all the time. And that's why that's the subject of the next close, the final series, which is who is a Godel and who isn't. But let me just finish with one point on the last minute of the shir. I want you to be aware that there is an element of Malchus here as well, that... we don't have Malachim anymore. I mean, I'm English and there is always the Queen, but it's not quite the same thing, okay? And she might be the last one anyway. We'll see. Number 26. Amalahu, okay? Shama Aleichem Malchi. So who are they speaking to? Amrulay, they said to him, Mina lach the Rabbanim Ikru Malachim. Why are you calling the Malachim, the rabbis, kings? So he said to them, it says, Be Malachim Yimlocho. Kings will reign among them. So the Ram explains what this means. And we'll finish with this source as to a Ram. Who is the Ram? Rabbeinu Nissim of Girona. Okay, very important Rishon. Lived in Spain. He lived in Spain in the 13th century. Okay, 14th century. Part of the Spanish school. Very, very important Rishon in Halacha and in Hashkofa as well. So the Ram comes and says, this number 27. Back in the day, the rabbis were rabbis, the shoftim were shoftim. They have their own, if you like, role. And there was a king, and the king dealt with political matters and societal matters. And he dealt with anything as the times needed. Meaning there were rabbis and there were kings and they weren't the same thing. Bismashi Yisrael Sanhedrin v'melech. When we had a Sanhedrin and a melech, says the Ran, ha-Sanhedrin heim lishbot et ha'am, v'mishpat tzedek levat, v'lo l'tikun in yanim b'yotem ideh. Back in the day, he says, when we used to have a Sanhedrin, daska they didn't do what the melech did, because we have our own melech as well. V'im lo sheyiten ha-melech lehem kocho. Let the melech give them authority. Aval ka'asher lo yeh melech b'Yisrael. But now that we don't have any Jewish king, any Jewish government, ha-shofet yichlol shnei ha-kochot. He says the shoftim today have both roles, koach ha-shofet and koach ha-melech, which is interesting. Again, I'm seeking to find for you sources in why there could be a principle of Da'at Torah. Who are the people in charge of the Jewish community? So he says, the shoftim, the rabbis. Again, which ones? We have to see. We have to look and we'll see who they are. But again, it may be that there is an element of the melech in, of course, if you're a religious Zionist, the melech is the Medinat Yisrael. That has a din melech, which is a whole different discussion. Yes.
Are they talking about Dayan?
They're talking about, yes, the people who run the community. But not capital Dayan, but the people who are the Gedolim, who are the Shoftim Shebi Yamecha, the rabbis of your day. So one way or the other, there may be various sources, and we've seen a lot of different things to say, whether it's Ruach HaKodesh, whether it's Nebuah on a certain level, whether it's mystical, whether it's just an enhanced intellect, whether it's Malchut, whether it's just, you know, you'd be a fool not to follow these people's advice. There are different ways to look and try and understand Da'at Torah in that way. In the last installment next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to look at who is a Gadol and how do you know. With all of this, we have to locate the people who we are going to turn to for this, and do we ever know who they are, and how can we tell. So next week, please God, at the same time, we'll finish the series.